In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Just a reminder about our first Saturday today. This is a devotion that stems from Our Lady of Fatima, where she asked the shepherd children to the faithful to attend Mass on the five consecutive first Saturdays and receive Holy Communion with the intention of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So remember to do that today, as well as pray 5 decades of the Rosary and meditate for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary. That's part of the stipulation to fulfill the 5 first Saturdays. And it's coming right after First Friday, and First Friday stems from the devotion to the Sacred Heart, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, at the end of the 17th century, 1680, and so on. That's a separate earlier devotion, but the two go together. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Just good to know the devotions that are out there. Today is a feast of St. Lawrence Justinian, and he was born in Venice in 1381 and would eventually end up becoming bishop of his own hometown city. And it started with a very good childhood. He had a good and a pious mother. She taught him his daily prayers. And he was one of those children that just mothers love to have. He was always good and pious and just continued that his whole life. Some children are like that. They might be rare, but they're out there. Maybe one of them could be yours. And he joined, as a young man, a community of canons regular and lived there as a monk. Canons regular is a group of priests and monks. They live together in community, but then they also do active work as well out in their cities and areas. And so he did this. He joined a community. He was ordained a deacon. He lived a model life of poverty, mortification, and fervent prayer. And after 1 year, he was ordained a priest. And after 2 more years, he was elected to be prior of the community. So a very capable young man. And so not only did he became prior of his own monastery, and he gave them a rule of life. It was a rule of St. Augustine. And he was very effective and such a capable administrator, he reformed other monasteries that were nearby as well. And this was these canons that were in these little communities, they were called the Canons of St. George, and he is considered their second founder because he was so effective at reforming and propagating those monasteries. And that is part of, we could say, what is meant in today's gospel when it says, well done, good and faithful servant, taking that God gave to one one talent, 2 talents, 5 talents, and they doubled it, right? They got 5, they gave God back 10. And so that's what we're supposed to do with sanctity and our gifts, whatever talents we've been given. So St. Lawrence Justinian, he was given the talent of administration, of sanctity, of piety. So he gave God back that 1 talent by becoming a monk. Then he multiplied it by becoming abbot and reforming his monastery. Now he made everybody else pious and better as well. Then he doubled those talents. Right now he had 2 talents. He doubled those because he did that to a bunch of other monasteries. Right now he had 4 talents. And then, because of all of his work there, the Pope made him Bishop of Venice, his very own hometown. So now he took his 4 and made 8, right? That's how we can think of that. But we never know what that's going to be. And we'll see that he was actually very well placed, because when he went to the Diocese of Venice, this was in 1433, so he's about 50 years old, the diocese was in a shambles. It was a disaster. It was administratively a mess. The priests were, who knows, all over the place. So he had a lot of work to do. Kind of sounds familiar these days. So he worked for 20 years. For 20 years, he worked in the Diocese of Venice, reforming the priests, reforming the clergy, reforming the people, bringing law and order, we could say, to the situation. And it came just in time. Because in 1453, the siege of Constantinople happened, and that was when the Turks took Constantinople, that city founded by Emperor Constantine over 1,000 years ago, and that marked the end of the Holy Roman Empire in the East. That was a great disaster for Christendom, and so the Turks took Constantinople, they sacked it, and that was a disaster for Venice because that was our closest trading partner. That was like all their commerce, all their business, Everything was tied up with Constantinople. It was an economic, a cultural just disaster for Venice. So the city was just, they lost their trading partner, they lost control of the Mediterranean, they lost control of their trade routes. So people were in a panic. They didn't know what was going to happen. It was like instant depression, instant, unemployment, right? Job loss. So where did everybody go? They went to St. Lawrence Justinian. Even the secular rulers, the governors, the mayors, they went to the bishop because he told them, this is what you need to do, right? You've lost everything in the secular realm. You've lost your moorings there. Here's your compass spiritually. This is where you need to go in terms of God and truth and moral goodness and righteousness. And if you go down this path, even though you're flying blind in terms of this world, if you do what is right, the things of this world follow along. Just like the gospel says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you besides. And that is exactly what happened. Venice recovered, and it wasn't easy, it wasn't pleasant, but they recovered after that fall of Constantinople. And St. Lawrence Justinian would work for 3 more years. He worked for 3 years guiding the governors, the bankers, the traders, the merchants, the clergy, and so on, for 3 years, and then he himself passed on in 1456, nearly 75 years old. And that's what God does, right? Once we have fulfilled our purpose and we're no longer needed according to his plan, right, we pass on. And so what he provided to the city is those moral guidelines. If you want to do what is right for society, you have to do what is right for God first. Right, that's always going to be the case. We should think of the human person as like Henry Ford looks at a car. You put gasoline in the gas tank, oil in the engine, water in the radiator. What if you start mixing that stuff up, right? I'm going to put water in the gas tank, oil in the radiator. What do you think is going to happen to the vehicle? It's going to blow up. It's not going to go anywhere. That is exactly what happens to society when man thinks that he can invent man. When he's like, okay, men are going to marry men, and women are going to turn into men, and we're just, everything's topsy-turvy, society will go nowhere, it's going to crash and burn. Just like that vehicle when you start tinkering with what makes it work. Same thing. God made man, God made humanity, and there are guidelines and rules for us that are always going to be the case, and you cannot mess with those without destroying society. That's what St. Lawrence Justinian understood, and that's how Venice recovered, is because the governor said, okay, St. Lawrence Justinian, what do I do? Like, I have no idea. This never happened to us before. What are my guidelines? I'm thinking about doing this. Lawrence Justinian would say, no, you can't do that. That would be unjust. But we would get more money. That would help the city. Yes, but the injustice would be worse for the city than the money. Right? So I'm sorry, even though you're going to get less money this way in the long run, this will be better because you're doing it in a just way. Think about the plague, right? And the mayor's like, oh, there's this plague in the city. We're going to do this. No, don't do that. Because yes, you might reduce the plague, but that would be improper. That would be imprudent. That would be unjust to the citizens. And the injustice is worse than the plague. Even though people may die from this deadly illness, you can't do an injustice in order to prevent that. Does that sound like anything we know? Now, I don't know if that is actually the case of what he did, but that's an example of how a bishop guides an entire city. Is the bishop tells the governor, these are the moral guidelines you have to abide by. If you don't abide by these guidelines, you are wrong. And we are not going to live according to what you say the moral guidelines are. That's unjust. We tell the world morality, not the other way around. The problem today is that bishops want to be politicians and politicians want to be bishops, right? The politicians want to tell us morality. Absolutely not. The church sets the tone for the world. And the world is in the disaster it is because the church hasn't been doing that. And history is full of this. History is full of the example of St. Lawrence Justinians who kept secular society together when everything was falling apart. That's how we have the foundings of Europe, is because with the fall of the Roman Empire in 476, with the barbarian invasions, it wasn't the barbarian invasions that destroyed Rome, it was the moral corruption and decadence of Rome which made it collapse inwards on itself. That's what happened. And guess what was rampant at the time? Homosexuality. Bribery. Political offices were openly bought and sold. Corruption was out in the streets. It was evident that there was corruption everywhere. Again, does that sound familiar? That's why Rome fell, and when it collapsed, what was left standing were the dioceses, were the bishops, was the network of the church. We're looking in pretty bad shape these days because that itself is corrupt, right? The church hierarchy is as corrupt as the world. But because it is the body of Christ, even if there's the tiniest heartbeat, right, in the bride of Christ still going, that's enough for God to work with, right? He can work miracles with that. So, that we can pray to St. Lawrence Justinian today for that very thing, that he will pray for all those other bishops that ought to be leading society right now. This is when we need them more than ever to lead society in morality. You know what? Here are your guidelines. This is morality. Do anything you want within these guidelines, right? Make any laws, pass any ordinances, but if you go outside of that, everybody will suffer and you won't even accomplish your mission. So, let's pray for that very, very much, for our bishop, who's actually quite a very good one, and for the other bishops as well, that they either convert or swiftly be replaced by men who are faithful. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.